Good morning, and thanks for tuning in. I'm Melissa Ross. This is a special OneSpark broadcast of First Coast Connect, recorded live last night at the Mocha Jacksonville Theater downtown. We'll be taping special shows there every night this week at 8 p.m. To find out how you can be part of the audience for tonight's show, visit wjct.org/events. The world's first crowdfunding festival is in full swing in downtown Jacksonville, and we're right in the middle of it. Hello and welcome to a special edition of First Coast Connect on the go and live from the beautiful Mocha Theater. We are here at the opening of OneSpark, and thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross, a fantastic studio audience with us as we come to you from the world's first and best crowdfunding festival. Guys, you are making so much noise. Can you make some more? All right. This group is part of the incredible energy in downtown Jacksonville because about 10,000 people already are estimated to have come out for the first day of OneSpark on Tuesday. The footprint of this crowdfunding festival has taken over about 20 blocks of the city with 555 creators all showing off their ideas and vying for crowdfunding and prizes and exposure. And there's so much more still to come. We are so excited right now to welcome the founders of OneSpark, Elton Rivas and his co-founders, Dennis Eusebio and Varick Rossetti. Guys, thanks for being with us. Elton, kudos on another successful event. You're off to a roaring start. So how are you feeling so far?
I'm a little tired. I'm not going to lie. But man, this is a ball of passion in downtown. There's no question about that. Amazing opening day that we had. The speaker summit was phenomenal. I had this crazy opportunity to sit on stage with Jack and Susie Welch and have a conversation about leadership and the city. And then, you know, you go into this opening ceremony and then, you know, you go in and see all these creator projects. I mean, it's been phenomenal so far.
Dennis, Jack and Susie Welch, obviously a highlight on the first day, but a lot of other big names and companies have been attracted to OneSpark this year. Eventbrite, Priceline, you're getting really big buy-in from the corporate sector around the country.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the cool thing about it is like a lot of these companies, they just want to, you know, be part of and capture some of that energy that comes with, you know, this festival. And, you know, what better opportunity to not only be part of it, but also participate in that type of activity and show that they are just as innovative as these creators, and they know and they remember what it takes to do these types of things.
Now, Varick, let's talk about what's different this year. What's new and different this year for people that have come the first 2 years? What can they look forward to this time?
So this time for the third year is a huge part in our contribution part for the creators. There is now a leveled award system that you can buy into or contribute to, which is a huge differentiator from those previous years. So now someone can contribute at those different levels to get something back from that creator.
So Elton, you've learned a lot over the years of putting this together. After the first year, you did some tweaking. After the second year, the same. What are some of the lessons that you've learned as you go about making this the innovation and crowdfunding festival, not just for Florida, but for the Southeast, you know, expanding the footprint of OneSpark?
Yeah, I think to build on what Varick was talking about, the biggest difference in this year's festival is really focusing on true crowdfunding campaigns. And we have over 200 creators that have opted in to do a campaign this year, offer rewards for people. And it's very similar to any other online crowdfunding platform that you'd see. But again, I mean, you get to go and talk to these people in person. And the reason that we did that is we got so much survey feedback, and we saw dozens of creators over the past couple of years that said, hey, like OneSpark's amazing, we love it. I'm going to go launch a crowdfunding campaign on another platform. We do it with you, but you don't have it. Because guess what? We built this huge audience here, and now we went and raised $200,000-$300,000 on another platform. So that's a huge change for this year. And it's so simple for people to just get the app and contribute to folks.
It really is. I downloaded the app this week. I've been looking at all the projects. Dennis, this is such a great opportunity for creators and for anyone interested in this. It's also great for the city of Jacksonville. And how do you see this festival impacting Jacksonville's brand and its positioning as a city of increasingly young people, tech-savvy people? Of course, the corporate leadership wants to attract young professionals to Northeast Florida. How do you see OneSpark fitting into those goals?
Well, I think OneSpark's big kind of contribution to the brand is that, you know, where Jacksonville sits as like one of the like middle of most types of cities, whether it's population or industry or all those different types of things. And what it really kind of brings is like this kind of culture of like not asking for permission to do the things that you want to do. And when you make a culture like that, where it's okay to be, you know, as crazy or pursue those ideas, and everybody kind of embraces, even if you fail, even more if you succeed, you can't ask for a better brand. That's what young people want to see. They don't want to just take what's given to them. They want to take what they want of their future.
And Varick, that was really the three of you. That was your whole impetus, wasn't it, when you created this whole thing?
It was. It was definitely part of it. The big, you know, one of the big factors was like we, you know, separately each had friends that were, you know, super talented. There's tons of talent in this city, and that talent was going elsewhere to get the resources that they needed. And, you know, that was like the aha in our heads to get together. And it's like, what can we do with our network of people? Can we connect people to these resources? And that was pretty much, you know, the beginning.
Yeah, and we've got some questions for the founders of OneSpark from our live studio audience. Paula Horvath from UNF stepping up to the mic. Hi, Paula.
Yes, hi. How is everyone tonight?
Great.
Good. Well, I can't wait for OneSpark this week, but I also wanted to know, last year you had OneSpark Berlin, and there were rumors at least about OneSpark going elsewhere. Are we going to see OneSpark in any other cities?
I love the crystal ball questions. I guess I'll take that. Maybe. I don't know yet. I think that there's an opportunity for that. We've had a lot of other cities reach out to us and say, hey, we don't know exactly what that is, but as we start to understand it, it
what
seems...
What cities?
Other ones.
Other ones. Oh, that narrows it down.
Berlin was one of them.
Right.
We've got, you know, there's a lot of them throughout the states that have reached out and said, hey, this is something that seems to be, the festival is the end game, and it's a byproduct of a lot of hard work that goes into cultivating the community. And they want that, right? I mean, every city in really around the world is trying to struggle with the same things, which is attracting, retaining, and growing talent. And OneSpark helps solve that pain point. So could we replicate what we're doing here this week in another market? I don't see that as a next step by any means. Could we replicate what we did in Berlin in another market? Probably.
Interesting. Any other questions for the OneSpark founders?
They're not shy out there.
Yeah. Oh, here comes somebody. It's Tracy.com stepping up to the mic. Tracy.com.
Hi, Melissa. Longtime fan, first time caller. Always wanted to say that. I was talking with some folks out on the street who are also in the media, and we were just kind of talking about sharing ideas about what we loved about OneSpark and, you know, what about this, what about that. And we were discussing ideas, for example, curb appeal. One of my suggestions would have been to some of the presenters is there's no curb appeal, which makes me not want to stop and listen to what they're saying, but also the elevator speech. I also don't want to stop for 10 minutes and listen. I want you to give me the 15-second version of what you want me to know. Do you have anything for the people who sign up to give them ideas like that?
I think the best way to do it is, I mean, the elevator pitch thing, that's a great point. That's something that everybody should really think about. It's like, how can I simply convey what I do and what value I can bring with my project to other people? But I think the best people have found ways to like act upon those things instead of just selling to someone. Like, look, they're doing the thing and showing you exactly what it is. Those are the people that usually do the best in those situations. So it's not like, it's not just being like talked to, it's experiencing it. And that's, I think, find unique ways to, for people to experience what your vision is the best advice we could give.
I got to second that from Dennis. It's like, because what you want to create is that relationship now being one-on-one with somebody in the physical sense, that when you can, instead of just talking at them, and you actually create this sensation of like, they really feel like they're going to be a part of your product, like that's the relationship you want to have with these people face-to-face.
Excellent. And thanks to the founders of OneSpark for starting us off. Elton Rivas, Dennis Eusebio, Varick Rossetti. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And let's also give a big hand to Electro Lounge host and our own producer, Sean Birch, in the house tonight. Electro Lounge is partnering with us all through our special broadcast this week. The great David Luckin has put together a great playlist for all of you musical artists that set a spark in their day. Hi, David.
Hi, Melissa. And we thought we'd go back in music history and think about the three people, three musicians who really had a huge one spark that created heat for the whole popular culture. And we're going to start with Mr. Frank Sinatra with a great song called I've Got You Under My Skin that he first played or sang on the radio in 1946, recorded in 56, the version we're going to play, which is the definitive version. Then in 63, he recorded again. And in 93, he recorded again with Bono and U2. So here's a nice little musical interlude from a guy who had a huge first spark.
I've got you under my skin. I've got you deep in the heart of me. So deep in my heart that you're really a part of me. I've got you under my skin. I tried so not to give in. I said to myself, this affair never will go so well. But why should I try to resist when, baby, I know so well? I've got you under my skin. I'd sacrifice anything come what might for the sake of having you near, in spite of a warning voice that comes in the night and repeats, repeats in my ear. Don't you know, little fool, you never can win. Use your mentality, wake up to reality. But each time that I do, just the thought of you makes me stop before I begin. 'Cause I've got you under my skin. Sacrifice anything, come what might, for the sake of having you near, in spite of a warning voice that comes in the night and repeats how it yells in my ear. Don't you know, little fool, you never can win. Why not use your mentality? Step up, wake up to reality. Time I do, just the thought of you makes me stop just before I begin. 'Cause I've got you under my skin. Yes, I've got you under my skin.
And welcome back to our special edition of First Coast Connect on the go, coming to you live from the beautiful Mocha Theater. We are at One Spark with a fantastic studio audience. Thanks to our audience. Thanks to Electro Lounge host David Luckin and producer Sean Birch for grooving along as we tell you all about this incredible crowdfunding festival. You know, there is so much happening at One Spark, and a big thanks to Mocha for letting us do these broadcasts from their theater stage. Mocha's a venue, and their One Spark film projects from this theater are hosting five film creators whose work is screening in the theater where we're broadcasting three or four times a day throughout One Spark. Right now, it's going to be just like the One Spark pitch deck, because we've got a bunch of these talented filmmakers up here on the stage with us to tell us all about their projects. Let's see how good their elevator speeches are. I think they're all pretty good. Filmmakers Michael Glinsky, Derek Boyd Hankerson, Keegan Anfuso and Drew Brown, and Kim Murray. Thanks for being with us. All right. Derek Boyd Hankerson, The Fort Mose Story. Let's start with you. Tell us about your film, the first free black settlement in North America, of course, located in St. Augustine.
Exactly. This is a story about Florida. And if we look at our history textbooks, you'll see that there are 268 years of history that's missing from our history textbooks, because the territory of Florida was started in 1513, or settled in 1513. The American Revolution starts in 1776. This Fort Mose story is not a story about slavery. This is a story about freedom and independence, and men such as Captain Francisco Menendez, who was born free in West Africa, was a Mandingo. He actually was sold into slavery, escaped five times, and he found his way along the original Underground Railroad south to Spanish Florida in the 18th century, settled at a place called Fort Mose in 1738, and during the bloody battle of Fort Mose in 1740, this black militia, which composed of Africans, Yamasee, Native Americans, and Spanish, fought the British. This was the only battle where the British lost. Of course, Britain did acquire Florida through the Treaty of Paris, but it was not acquired through battle. More importantly, this story is about men who happened to have been black fighting for freedom and independence 36 years before the American Revolution in 1776. It's a Florida story.
All right. Nice pitch. Now, there's another Florida story to talk about. In fact, it's a Jacksonville story. In fact, it's a Mocha story. Perhaps you all remember a certain photograph that appeared recently in this very museum. Well, guess what? Filmmaker Michael Glinsky remembers it too, don't you? And you decided to do something about it.
I did decide to do something about it, and I think that doing something about it is good for the city, because the controversy that photograph caused resulted in a dialogue that I believe has the possibility of bringing a level of prosperity to Jacksonville that we haven't seen before. You know, yesterday at the speaker series, Jack Welch said, forward-thinking cities move because of forward-thinking people. And there are a lot of people who have come out of all different angles talking about how Jacksonville is at a tipping point. And that's a very exciting thing place to be. And that the energy for that tipping point is coming from the fact that art that Mocha does so beautifully and brings to us so generously, that art generates in our children, in ourselves, a level of creativity. And that creativity and then fuels innovation, and the innovation in turn fuels prosperity. And that's the engine that we want to see get going, because we want to all make Jacksonville a place that people are proud to come and be and see.
And the film is Can Art Define a City? Yes, and that'll be showing as well, so kudos. All right. Kim Murray. Kim Murray's with us. Tell us about your film, Ocean Pond.
Yes, Ocean Pond is an award-winning short film. It's a beautiful drama based during the Battle of Alusti, where a black Union soldier is escaping for his life, and a slave from the area finds him and helps him to safety. And during his time of convalescence, they have this beautiful conversation about what freedom is and what it means to each one. And you realize they both have very different definitions. The Union soldier, who's actually free and has his papers, he can't even read them and can't carry a gun in the battle he's fighting. But the slave has earned a ranking in his family, and he's been taught to read and carry a gun. And so it's just this beautiful conversation between two people in a cabin, shot all in Morningside Nature Center in Gainesville.
Nice, nice. God, these are great projects. All right, and then last but not least, Keegan and Fuzo and Drew Brown, tell us about Person, the Gray Area.
The Gray Area is what we are raising funds for. Person was actually directed by Drew L. Bound last year, and it was a film about a young adult struggling with gender dysphoria, and that film won a Student Academy Award in the alternative category, and it was also really well received in the LGBT community as well. So now what we're doing with this film is we want to visit another area of the gender spectrum, which is the perspective of the masculine female. We'll be co-directing that together. As his co-director, I'm also the main subject of the film. So what I'll be providing is dialogue into, as a masculine female, dialogue on things that that were said to me when I was a child, a teenager, as an adult now, experiences that I have, and I believe all those experiences have a lot to do with gender stereotyping and kind of the antiquated definitions of woman and man, and how those are kind of becoming irrelevant, but we're still pushing them. So in hopes, what we're hoping is that we create a film that all of our audiences and viewers see, and they reevaluate the way that they're looking at gender and defining gender, and maybe consider how they have been affected by gender stereotypes themselves.
Excellent. Some provocative One Spark film projects here at Mocha Jacksonville all week. How about it? And more to come on this special First Coast Connect on the go from One Spark. Speaking of Spark, our own Electro Lounge host David Luckin has some more music for us. What do you got?
Okay, this time we're going to go back to a young boy from Memphis, Tennessee, called the Memphis Flash. 1960, he came out of the Army, did his second recording. And for the first time in 2 or 3 years, he'd been in a studio, and he recorded a song called Fever.
Never know how much I love you. Never know how much I care. When you put your arms around me, I get a fever that's so hard to bear. You give me fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. You give me fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Everybody's got the fever, that is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing, fever started long ago. Romeo loved Juliet, Juliet she felt the same. When he put his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. Now give us fever when we kiss, it's fever with thy flaming youth. Fever, I'm on fire, fever, yeah, I burn forsooth. Captain Smith and Pocahontas had a very mad affair. When her daddy tried to kill him, she said, Daddy, oh, don't you dare, he give me fever with his kisses, fever when he holds me tight. Fever, I'm his missus, daddy, won't you treat him right? Now you've listened to my story. Here's the point that I have made. Cats were born to give chicks fever, be it Fahrenheit or centigrade. We give you fever when we kiss you, fever if you live and learn. Fever till you sizzle, but what a lovely way to burn. What a lovely way to burn. What a lovely way to burn. What a lovely way to burn.
And welcome back to our special edition of First Coast Connect on the go, live from the beautiful Mocha Theater. Yes. Thank you so much, studio audience, for being with us as we celebrate One Spark. And when was the last time you posted a TBT or Throwback Thursday photo on your Facebook or Twitter? What? Recently? Okay. Good, because right now we're going to do a Throwback Thursday. During One Spark 2014, thousands of visitors streamed into Mocha to view Project Atrium, Sean Thurston, this huge mural of colorful crystals that symbolize the growth of the arts in this city. Thurston went on to win the One Spark Juried Art Prize, and he actually donated half his winnings to Mocha. Sean Thurston joins us now with some reflections. Good to have you on the show.
Hi.
And your art was so emblematic of last year's event. It must have been a thrill. What are your memories of all of that?
They all blur together, really. It was three solid days of just intense attention, which yeah. I spent a lot of time alone, like in the studio with just my music and maybe one other person. So to be surrounded by so many people was a little surreal.
A little surreal,
yeah.
But exciting.
Yeah,
right?
I loved it. I loved it. But definitely went back to the studio for some alone time right after.
Sure, sure. But it's nice to talk to a winner from this event, because how did it impact your life to be recognized in this way?
I guess career-wise, the impact was pretty immediate. I started getting a flood of emails of people interested in my work, and I got to be a little more choosy about it. And then my mother was extremely happy and proud to be able to show the family what was going on, that like her artist son who...
He's actually making this work.
Yeah, like, look, I don't know, there's something about being in papers or being on the TV that's like a validation for a lot of people.
Sure. And so what are your thoughts about how this festival has supported artists like yourself and other creators and people with innovative ideas?
I think it's great for putting a spotlight on people that were obscure for a long time. Monetarily, that's individual basis. I don't know how it's affected everybody, but being able to give to the museum was something that I always kind of dreamed of, like had those visions walking through a museum and seeing names on the board. Like I could be that, like just having more of an involvement in the arts than being an artist, but like being like a full spectrum.
A patron of the arts.
I know, it's real, right?
So you're legit now, aren't you? Very legit.
It's on the board.
Your name's up there. So what are you working on now?
Right now I'm in a studio at Cork. Jim Webb from Hemming Park has loaned me his studio, because it's bigger than mine, to work on the 154 feet of this kind of canvas material that I'm wrapping around Hemming Plaza. I grew up with it called Hemming Plaza, but it's Hemming Park now.
Right,
so,
right.
But it's going to wrap around the electrical equipment and basically install a piece of public art.
Well, kudos to you, Sean Thurston. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah.
All right. And much more still to come on this special First Coast Connect. Coming to you from One Spark, here's a little more music.
One more One Spark inspiration from Liverpool this time.
Look at all the lovely people.
a Rigby, picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? Father Mackenzie, writing the words of a sermon that no one will hear. No one comes near, look at him working, darning his socks in the night when there's nobody there. What does he care? All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? Died in the church and was buried along with her name. Nobody came, Father Mackenzie, wiping the dirt from his hands as he walks from the grave. No one was saved, all the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong?
Welcome back to First Coast Connect, our special edition coming to you from the beautiful Mocha Theater with a live studio audience. Thank you so much, audience, for clapping and cheering our wonderful guests who have agreed to be on the show with us, coming right from the Mocha stage. It's so much fun to be with all of you. And right now, we want to talk about the whole concept of this week. One Spark is about crowdfunding, of course, but how about this? First Coast Magazine, a pretty new publication in town, is doing something that, as far as we know, hasn't been done anywhere else in the United States. They are building a crowdsourced magazine in 5 days. Yeah. Designers and writers from around town will all convene at the First Coast Mag Lab. That's at the Dalton Agency, which faces onto Hemming Plaza, and they're going to produce the magazine live in front of OneSpark attendees. True to the nature of OneSpark, which celebrates innovation and entrepreneurship, this magazine production is going to be crowdsourced, giving attendees a voice. Publisher A.J. Beeson and the Dalton Agency's Michael Munns join us now. All right. A.J., let's begin with you. First of all, First Coast Magazine is a beautiful new addition to media offerings in this city, so kudos on that. How did the idea for this come about? How did this all come together?
Well, it was one long night of drinking. No. first of all, Melissa, thanks for having us on. I love your show. Glad to be a part of it. So actually, this has not been done in the United States before, but it was something I read about that was done in England over about a year and a half ago. And I said, wow, that's a really cool idea. I read the article, and I went to my staff and said, hey, let's try to do this. And they all gave me funny looks and said, that's crazy. We're not going to do that. But I convinced them, and then I got the idea from one of my members of staff there to let's partner up with OneSpark and try to get this thing together, and that's how it kind of all began. And then as we kept going on with the project, we needed some partners in crime to do this thing, because it's a gigantic project in process, and then that's where the Dalton Agency came in.
Sure. So Michael, how is the Dalton Agency going to help turn this thing out in 5 days?
Well, we actually have the easy part, Melissa. We're providing the space.
We
have the great building, you know, that faces Hemming, and we're right in the middle of OneSpark, which we're very, very proud to be a part of. And when AJ and staff came to us and said, we've got this idea, I said, great, you know, we're glad to loan you our building. And then the next conversation was, but how can you also help us make this happen? And so it went from being a really great sort of big broad idea down to a very tactical, let's get it done idea. And the neat thing about this is, and it shows that collaboration is another big aspect of OneSpark. AJ's company and our company have come together and collaborated and working very, very closely, our teams together, to make this happen. And we're very proud. This will be the first time it's going to happen in the United States.
That is so cool. So tell us a little bit about the nuts and bolts of this. How is this physically going to be done?
Well, so we start with the interview process. Well, actually, let's reverse. We did some of the photos. We did pre-photo shoots before the event. So we have photos for all the articles. But what we haven't done is the actual articles and the interviews. So we convinced our writers, and by the way, we've twisted a lot of arms to get this done.
Gee, I can't imagine how that went down.
So we convinced our writers, let's do these interviews on stage. So we've asked our interviewees to be interviewed on stage at the Dalton Agency. We've set up shop there. So the interviews are done, and they literally get off stage, write the article, get it to our editor. Editor gets it to design. And then the crowdsourcing part of it is all the photos that we took. Anybody can come and vote and pick the photo for each article individually. And then we take the top voted photos, and we produce it on the pages. And then each night we upload one section of the magazine. So it's been a lot of fun.
And now, where are you in the process right now?
Well, we've uploaded just one of the sections so far. We did that today at 1 o'clock. We started yesterday, so I know the event started late yesterday, but we started first thing yesterday.
And is alcohol a part of this process?
Yes.
In any way?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I would think it might be. No.
The day starts with Dalton Agency, right?
I used to work there, so yeah. No, I'm kidding. So seriously, it sounds as though this is really fun and exciting, but also kind of stressful and intense too.
Yeah, coming up to the event, there was a lot of thought process and organization and a lot of partnership with Dalton to get this thing going. And both teams put so much into it and really prepared ourselves that I have to admit that it's been a lot of fun and a little easier so far. It's early, but so far a little bit easier than we thought. But but it's coming along really well. And we start with coffee in the morning, and then we move the alcohol in the afternoon.
Yes. Exactly. That's
Melissa,
the way to go.
One of the things, too, that I have found to be very interesting about it, there's a really sort of cool educational aspect of this. People can come in and actually see the staff of First Coast Magazine working, putting their thoughts and their brains into how they form the articles. It'd be like someone coming and watching you do your show every morning. Imagine sitting in a fishbowl and having, you know, hundreds of people walking around watching you produce your show every morning.
That would be my nightmare.
Yeah. But that's what AJ and his team are doing. They are literally sitting in a fishbowl, and people can come in, watch the interviews live, watch them put the magazine together. So it's a really great way for people to see how this wonderful thing comes together.
Actually, we're kind of doing that this week, now that I think about it.
Yeah, you are.
So it's First Coast Mag Lab and the website. So people can look at this once it's all done, right?
Yep, First Coast Mag Lab. They can get all the information. They can vote on photos. We're also doing a photo cover contest, too. We had submissions come in for a couple months, and we have 3 cover options that they can vote on. But yeah, First Coast Mag Lab basically tells the story.
And Dalton Agency, of course, is the media lounge for OneSpark, so this makes perfect sense.
It all came together really, really well, and I want to also thank you guys and the entire media of Jacksonville. So far, the media coverage has been amazing to tell people the details of OneSpark, how to get here, how to work OneSpark, download the app. You guys at JCT have been a great partner, as always. So as a board member of OneSpark, I just want to say thank you. You guys are outstanding.
All right. Well, thanks to you guys.
Thank you.
Michael Mons and AJ Beeson. Check out the world's first crowdsourced magazine at firstcoastmaglab.com. And much more still to come from OneSpark and our special broadcast. Thanks for staying with us, audience.
WJCTnews.org is your source for the latest local, national, and international news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Podcasts of your favorite local stories and shows, the WJCT First Read every weekday morning, and playlists from all of our after-hours music programming. From your computer or mobile device, see it all at WJCTnews.org.
How would you pair your favorite Blue Note artist? McCoy Tyner with Bobby Hutcherson? Lou Donaldson with Dr. Lonnie Smith? Wayne Shorter with Nora Jones? I'm Christian McBride. This week on Jazz Night in America, we're reliving a star-studded concert honoring Blue Note Records' 75th birthday. Jason Moran, guest host.
Saturday nights at 8 on 89.9 WJCT.
Police are required by law to keep up with their shooting skills. But they don't expect the danger to be at the firing range.
This haze came across the range and it got really thick. And there was a really sweet kind of metallic taste.
How lead poisoning is hurting police on the next Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX. Sunday at 1 on WJCT 89.9.
The Florida legislature is in session, and Capitol Report is your nightly connection to what's happening in Tallahassee as lawmakers debate and decide issues that affect all Floridians, such as expanding health care and gambling, protecting the state's water resources, private versus public schools, and prison reform. Hear Capitol Report each weeknight during the legislative session on this Florida public radio station.
That's Tuesday through Friday nights at 6:30 on 89.9 WJCT.
And welcome back to our special edition of First Coast Connect on the go live from the beautiful Mocha Theater for the opening of One Spark. Thanks for staying with us, audience. I'm Melissa Ross, and for the second year in a row, students at UNF have created a one-of-a-kind independent news bureau called Ignite Media. They've been partnering with the grown-up media people, although they're young adults, but the Jacksonville news media to cover events and issues pertaining to OneSpark. Ignite Media consists of a hand-picked group of 20 talented UNF students, and they are providing content for media outlets all over the place, and they're getting picked up. Here to tell us a little bit about Ignite, Fallon Mayer and Marina Lupinick. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And the hashtag is Ignite Media, of course, and kudos on a wonderful job. You're providing multimedia digital content in real time, constantly updated on your website. Tell us a little bit about Ignite.
Well, we are an independent student-run news bureau, and like you said, we operate out of UNF. Our lovely fearless leader, Dr. Paula Horvath, has been leading us, and it's been a great experience so far.
Exactly, and I've looked at the site. The stories are great. You know, the old saying in media is when you try to punch above your weight, you're really punching above your weight. No offense to college students anywhere, it does not look like a college publication. It's so well done that other outlets are picking up your content, and you're offering it up for free. Yeah?
Yes, Fallon. We are. We actually have Florida Times. They publish most of our articles, and we've really enjoyed working with them as well because they teach us a lot about what the important reporting aspects of it is. And the creator choices are kind of up to us. So it's more of like what interests us. And, you know, we use different platforms as well. So we'll do video and photography, including the writing. And then this week we catch back up with the creators and we do daily recaps and more reporting on them, and it's overall a really good experience. It's learning a lot.
I would think it's a great experience for you, getting this real world experience, and this festival has a real millennial kind of spirit. It really encapsulates your generation's energy and tech savvy. So how do you see Ignite playing into just the spirit of this festival?
Well, our class that this is based out of is called Social Media for Journalism. So we try to utilize every social media platform that's out there. We use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat even, and it's been just really great getting the experience of how to use these platforms as a way to get news out. So it's been really educational experience and a lot of fun, and it's great to interact with the younger generation and get them involved with news as well.
Well, check out the website Ignite Media Jax, follow the hashtag on Twitter, and kudos Fallon Mayer and Marina Lupinick. I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot more from you. Thank you so much. And we'll be back in a moment with a look ahead to what else is happening around the First Coast this spring as we continue our special broadcast from One Spark. Stay with us. And welcome back to our special broadcast from the beautiful Mocha Theater at the city's One Spark Festival. All right. I'm Melissa Ross, and we have a fantastic studio audience all this week as we bring to you all the news of One Spark, the world's first crowdfunding festival, an incredible event downtown. But finally this hour, we want to look ahead on the calendar just a bit to the first Saturday in May. Because as it turns out, you don't have to make the trip to Churchill Downs to experience the Kentucky Derby if you live here in Northeast Florida. All you have to do is be part of the May 2nd Youth Crisis Center Derby Day to witness the exhilaration of the greatest 2 minutes in sports in VIP style. Here to tell us about this great event and the mission of the Youth Crisis Center, we welcome President and CEO Kim Sertivan and Montarius Phillips, a current resident. Thanks for coming out at night and talking to us.
Thank you for having us.
All right, Kim. Now, I have seen the pictures on Facebook. I have seen the hats. I have seen the gowns. I've seen the excitement. This Derby Day event is not to be missed. Tell us all about it.
That's right. We're bringing the Kentucky Derby experience right here to Jacksonville on our First Coast. This is a wonderful experience where we're raising funds for the operations of our program, which is really serving youth in our community right here that are homeless, that are running away from situations within their home, that are having difficulties at school, and everything that we are collecting in terms of our proceeds go directly to helping the others that we are serving in our programs.
And people really get into the spirit of this. I've actually been to the Kentucky Derby. I've seen the incredible hats. I've seen the mint juleps. In Kentucky, they do this dish called burgoo. I mean, it's a whole scene. It's a whole thing. You really recreate that.
We have recreated it. We have actually a contest, the Bonnets and Bowties contest for best dressed. We bring everything in terms of the cigar bar, the mint juleps. We actually have the 17th hole replication so that you can actually have an experience of teeing off and trying to create that hole-in-one experience. And then the 2 minutes... around 6:20, 6:30 is the most exciting time of the entire event where you actually can bet on the horses and have prizes. We have auction items live and a fantastic band with Band Be Easy.
Nice. And Montarius Phillips, Youth Crisis Center, is such a wonderful nonprofit here on the First Coast. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience with it?
Wow, that would be my pleasure. As a young adult who was homeless, you know, didn't have no place to go, the Youth Crisis Center scooped me up and gave me wonderful opportunities and resources that I don't think I would be able to provide if I was living by myself. They helped me out with, you know, school, with a housing, and it's a safe place to be. You know, why not?
Exactly. So what are you doing now? Tell us about what you're up to these days.
Oh, wow. I'm just now pretty much getting my AA degree from Florida State College at Jacksonville with the help of Take Stock in Children, and now I'm going to be at UNF in the fall. So YCC has gave me a great platform to study, have my own studio apartment, and just to grow as a young adult.
Nice. And maybe come to a derby party, too.
You know I will be there.
Well, Kim, you want everyone to come out for this. Obviously, One Spark is all the rage this week, but before we know it, May will be rolling around. People need to mark their calendars for this. Tell everyone all the details.
Well, you can actually go on our website, which is ycc.org, and you can purchase tickets online. They're $55 for general admission or $85 for VIP, which is inclusive of every event that we have going on in the at the event. Or you can give us a call if you have further questions about that at 725-6662. We'd love to see you, and it's going for a great cause to help the youth and families within our community.
This is one of the most fun nonprofit events of the year. So come on out to Derby Day with the Youth Crisis Center. Celebrate the Derby in spring on the First Coast. President and CEO Kim Sertivan, Montarius Phillips, a resident, and thank you so much for coming down in the middle of all this craziness tell us about it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. And that's our program. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Thanks to our live studio audience. Yes. And we'll be back tomorrow with another incredible show from One Spark. If you want to come and be part of our live studio audience, just come on down to the Mocha Theater Thursday night, 8 o'clock, or go to wjct.org/events to be part of this special broadcast. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy the festival. We'll be right back.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.